Oh Lord, the birth of your son in a manger changed everything in human history. Everything turned on his coming. The Word made flesh, dwelling among us. Thank you. Thank you that you were willing to humble yourself, O Lord, to move into our neighborhood. And I pray that tonight, through the course of the service, that your Holy Spirit would make the truth of what you have done so real to us, that it will not be just something we remember that was done a long time ago, but it would be living truth for us today. Emmanuel. I want to share for a few moments a devotional about that word Emmanuel and what it means to us. The word Emmanuel is a Hebrew word, and it means God with us. And I know we sing about the songs of Christmas. You hear them until you start tuning them out when you go to the store because you hear them so often on the loop. But for a moment, just think about what that means. God with us. God. The Creator becomes part of His creation. The God who brought everything into existence and sustains everything by His powerful word is now a baby held by a mother. The one who gives life to everything, the one through whom all things came into being, now finds nourishment at his mother's breast. This one who comes, God incarnate. It's not as if God has not given us a witness about who he is prior to Christ. Certainly in the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies of the firmament shows his handiwork." It's as if the entire creation is saying, yes, there is a God. In fact, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 basically says that because of creation, nobody could say, I didn't know there was a God. He says the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So the people are without excuse. In other words, from Paul's perspective, the universe screams God exists. And the only way to ignore that is you have to purposely reject that witness. You have to suppress the truth. So God speaks through creation. Certainly God speaks in the sense that we have a conscience. We know what we ought to do. We don't always do it, but there's that moral sense of right or wrong. Where did that come from? Well, we were created in God's image. That's why we sense that, feel that. Ecclesiastes says that God has put eternity in our hearts. There's something in us that says we were made for more. All of that is God reaching out to us, drawing us to himself. And God gave us his word, certainly. God's word is truth. It reveals to us God's deeds, God's words, what he did and what he said. But something unique took place that Christmas day when Jesus was born. According to the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 1, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. That in that baby we find, as Paul says, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. In other words, when we look at Emmanuel, what we find is that we see God. Jesus said that he that has seen me has seen the Father. The invisible God becomes visible in Jesus. The God that's out there, the God who made everything, becomes visible for us so we get a glimpse of who God is. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, no one has seen God at any time. But the only begotten Son, the one and only who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known. You see, Emmanuel means God. We see God. The Word made flesh, dwelling among us. God moving into the neighborhood. We now know who God is because we see God. But Emmanuel means God with us. See, God knows everything, the Bible says. He's omniscient. But God knows us in a way, and I'm using very poor analogies, but God now, if you will, sees us, perhaps in a way, I don't want to say God hasn't seen before. I'm playing with the language, but basically what I'm saying is God knows us, but God really knows now what it's like to be one of us. He was born. He was conceived. He grew in his mother's womb. He experienced birth. He experienced poverty, placed in a manger. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to be betrayed. He knows what it's like to be abused. He knows what it's like to be physically assaulted. He knows what it's like to weep. He knows what it's like to hurt. He knows the gamut of what we feel, because not only do we see God with Emmanuel, God sees us with Emmanuel. And the writer of Hebrews says that we have a faithful high priest. It says the reason Jesus had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus, not only fully God, fully human, he sees us. And he knows what it's like. We can never say to God, you just don't understand. Now maybe if he hadn't come, we'd feel like I could say that, but you can't say it anymore. He knows what you're going through. And that brings me to the third and final point. Not only do we see God, and God sees us, but we see the love that the Father has for us expressed through Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, God came to earth, Emmanuel, not just to hang out for 30 years or 35 years. He didn't just come down to have a vacation from heaven. He came down because he had to be the one to bridge the gap between a holy God and a sinful humanity. God was perfect and sinless. There is no evil at all in God whatsoever, but God could not die. We were sinful in every way, and we couldn't save ourselves. So the God who could save became human so he could rescue us from our sin by being a sin offering for us. The moment he chose to be baptized in water, he said, in effect, I'm agreeing to the plan. See, he didn't have to be baptized. There was no sin he had to repent of. But by being baptized, he's saying, I choose to identify with the sinful human race, understanding what it's going to cost me. And I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to be obedient to my Father, and I'm willing to express the love of my Father for his creation. I'm willing to be the bridge. And it was right after that he was tempted. Right after he had accepted the call, the devil said, do you really want to go down this road? Come on, come on. Choose another way. And he said, no, you get behind me, Satan. I know what I'm supposed to do. And so his whole life was heading towards the cross. He came, he lived, he showed us who God is. He did miracles, he did healings. He taught about the kingdom, he preached. But his focus was ultimately to get to the place where he could say, Father, I finished the work you gave me to do. I'm ready. I'm ready. Not my will, but thine be done. I'm ready. Because Emmanuel means not only do we see God, and not only does God see us, but God makes a way for us to be brought back into a relationship with him. See, that's what Emmanuel means. I mean, it's cool to sing, oh, come, Emmanuel. But understand what you're singing with that. Emmanuel, I see God. The one who formed everything, I see him. He sees me. And he says, come. Come here. Let's have a relationship. Let me bring you back into relationship with myself. Let me reestablish what I intended for you from the beginning, that we could be together forever. And if that Emmanuel is not someone that you've come to know yourself, you know about him, you sing the songs, but you've never come to know him, then I offer to you the gift of Jesus, Emmanuel, tonight, that you might know the life that is possible through Jesus Christ. Amen. As we forgive those who trespassed against us,